4341-790 Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you,
sir? I'm fine, ma'am. And you?
Not too bad. I would like to wish Miss Santia Bratcher all God's blessing and, you know, and safe journey on her battle she got to face. But as she said, she's strong, and with God's help and the prayer, she will get through it, because cancer is not a nice thing. As you know, I lost my nephew some years ago to a very rapid cancer. But now my sister was going through it, this, you know, and when I get the call that she have cancer, I said, Lord, no, not again. But I should have gone, but they are over there telling me, don't come, because they know I will be bawling down the place. And they said, don't come. And I said, all right. And I'm waiting for the election. And when election call, I am coming. And when I tried to get a flight the next day after the election over, I couldn't get one until the 14th. Her operation, Mr. Johnson, take 8 hours. Eight and a half hours to be done. And it was her cancer was the one that now she have to have the bag at the side. You understand? Mm-hmm. And now she's got to go chew it again, because the doctor said that is over, but they got to do 2 more biopsy to see if she's completely cancer-free. And I am praying now she's going to go, I think it's next 2 weeks or so, to see if she's completely cancer-free. So I know what cancer is like. It's my family a couple of times. And, you know, we just got to take one day at a time, you know, and just pray, because... Mm-hmm.
Well, as Ms. Bradshaw said, it's not a death sentence, and people should not see it as being a death sentence. And hopefully she said it's early, so hopefully she'll be able to pull through it. Dame Billy has survived, and there are several other cancer survivors in Barbados.
And I know quite a few people that have breast cancer, and they're still around. I know a lady that when the doctor says they're going to take off one breast, she said, no, take off all two. Because it's running her family. Yep. And she have all two removed the same day. Mm-hmm. You know, so she will get through it. She's strong, and the prayers that are going up, she will get through with the help of God. But all she needs now is not distress. This is the time because chemo is a horrible thing. Because I know my sister sometimes when she go for her chemo, and I would talk to her on the phone, you could hear, you know, that she is weak and she cannot talk too much. But when my sister see me, she said, listen to me, don't cry. Don't even shed a tears. And my eyes, Mr. Johnson, was full with water. I want to cry, but, you know, she see it drop and she said, look, you better go outside, no crying, and come back in.
There you go.
And I drink some cold water and I come back, and she's so far now, every day I phone her, every day, night and day. I phone to see how is my sister, because I love her more than myself. That's how I love my family.
Good.
When it comes to my family, I'm very protective. That's why I don't talk about my kids. I don't talk about, very rare, I talk about my family, very rare.
Okay.
Know? And thank you very much.
No problem, ma'am. Yep, I'm sure the support will assist in the healing process. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and you?
I had no intentions of calling, but then I hear NASA keep talking about black people. Now, let me get to this thing in full. Dennis, we got two problems in Barbados. Pretty larceny and the monkey. That's what people claim, because I don't know the among a monkey I hear articles talking about that he see one time. I've never seen that in my life. Anyhow, the most dangerous thing in this country right now is pretty larceny. You ever say, wait, my teeth is a bike coconut? Huh?
So I've never seen anybody teeth in anybody coconuts.
Good, good. But when you ever say, wait, man, say you're selling coconut?
Not to the best of my knowledge.
Good. Now, let me give you an incident that took place home by me last week, Thursday. I talk about it. But another incident two weeks in front, where some peers of the military, and they went and stole them. They came back Thursday night, but I was there awaiting them. Dennis, then I look out, three young fellas on the tree. When I rushed them, they ran. Dennis, that happened about 1:30. Now, if I had done something, I think fast. If I had done something, I probably would be behind bars today waiting for sentence. Anyhow, you know what hurt me? 3 o'clock in the morning, I tell this, when I ran them, it was 1:30. Not knowing that they had went into my next door neighbor pier and pick a bag full already, you know. Then 3 o'clock in the morning, they came back with a car, and they said, fella got him and snatched the bag of pears and put it in the back of the car. You take a white man would do that. I read in the paper the other day.
So, you know, I got this. I got to stop this conversation. I got to stop this conversation for a number of reasons. One, I can't carry on this conversation. I really cannot. I can't even say what I want to say. It's not often that I'm speechless. But I am. We can have carry on this conversation another time, sir. 4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning. Okay. Let me try and gather myself and try to respond to you, sir. The predominant race in Barbados is black. I don't like race discussions at all, but anyhow. The predominant race in Barbados is black. Means, therefore, that it is more than likely that black people will be subject to criminal activity and will be engaged in criminal activity simply on the basis of numbers. I cannot sit here and decide whether a white person would do X or a white person would do Y or a white person would do Z. Because somebody will call to ask, who are the big people behind guns? Who are the big people behind white collar crime? Who are the big people behind bribes and corruption? And whether they're black, white, Indian, green, or blue. Whether they come from Barbados, Uzbekistan, Hindustan, or wherever else. So, when Mr. Nasser speaks about black people, I am sure there are people who would see their own people in the same position and ascribe his same doctrine to them. There's a group of people in Grenada, at a place called Mount Morris. When I was in Grenada, they used to call them Mong Mong Bajans, and I couldn't figure out why until I learned from history that the settlers at Mount Morris in Grenada originally came from poor whites in Barbados who went to Grenada and settled there because of economic conditions existing and their particular conditions at the time. There are people who say that the red legs suffered just as much discrimination as black people at some point in their history and their career. I can't discuss crime on the basis of color. I can't. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. You just took the wind out of my sails.
Well, hopefully you could still find some to sail.
I will still sail because I found those comments to be a little ignorant. Because as you were stating, if the majority of a population is of a certain ethnic group, then obviously the most crime will be committed by that ethnic group. That's all I have to say on that point. Yes, predatory larceny is a problem in Barbados. But like you said, we have white-collar crimes in Barbados that are committed by people of other descent and ethnic groups that might not get the headlines and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Good?
Mm-hmm.
You have situations where persons might be, you might see them on the road selling certain items. It is not every person on the road vending that has stolen any item, especially the coconut vendors or even the ones with the ackee vendors. You have lots of unclaimed land laying around, and persons will go and pick. Yes, it's seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
That will happen. Then there are persons who will come and ask you a question. And if you give them permission to use your tree or whatever, so be it. It's not every vendor out there that is a thief. That's the point I want to make.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you
the
on that, man.
The problem you will have, good, is when persons know that someone owns a particular spot of land or a particular tree, and they try to circumvent getting permission or perhaps paying for them.
Or taking advantage of you when you give them permission.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be a problem with any country in the world, not just Barbados. So I would like persons to desist from thinking that every vendor out there is a thief or that they're all buying stolen property. Yes, you will know when stolen... People will know who's a known crook or who is a thief or whatever, and you will still go and buy from them. Mm-hmm. You are helping to contribute to the problem.
Ma'am, and the other part of it, and that's why I kind of tried to calm down before I reacted. There are people who take advantage of you in other ways than stealing. They deprive you of other things rather than just your personal possessions. And sometimes they don't look like you. But that's no reason to paint an entire group of people with the brush.
With the same brush. No,
yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, yeah. Look, ma'am, at the end of it all, we are people. We are one. And sometimes the things we think separate us, they really don't separate us at all, you know. That's why I like Edwin's Calypso, when he says, a man on dying bed needs a donor's blood. Does he request a certain class? Yep, he doesn't say, you know, I want blood only from a class of person who is X or Y, because that may not be the one you need. That may not be the one you need. Yeah,
right. So. And if it's the one you need, he might not get it.
Yep, that is very true, ma'am. I thank you for the contribution. I certainly do. Thank you. Brass Stacks, thanks as well. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
You know, I wasn't shocked. I was just surprised. Especially a gentleman that makes contribution in relation to a lot of historical events and so on. But he needs to go and read what happened when they abolished slavery. He needs to understand the whole history. Because if you're going to pay all the slave owners for freeing the slaves, and all the slaves left with was the clothes on the back, no land, no money in the pockets, nothing, okay? And put them out there to survive. And the other group has everything, the land, everything. Up to today, you're still struggling. They tell black people, pull up yourself by your bootstraps. Some of them won't even have boots, you know? So he needs to really take a look at not only the political aspect of history, but he needs to understand what happened in slavery and understand that it's still following us up to today. That man, he got me upset.
Don't let it upset you to the point where you make it sound as though the only way you can get ahead is to take from those who have, because that too is a dangerous premise. Huh?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Good, which is why I'm telling you, don't let it get you upset to that point. Because, you see, what happens a lot, sir, and this is one of the reasons why, again, I tried to curb my tongue. I believe in the doctrines exposed by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Some of the things he said resonate with me still. When he said that the doctrine of black supremacy is as alien as the doctrine of white supremacy, and you must never let people pull you down so far as to make you hate them. I think what happens in a lot of cases is when people look around and see what someone else has and presume that they get it by unfair means, they feel that, well, I could get by unfair means too, and that's all right. And then we end up taking from each other and shoving down and pushing each other down. And that worries me.
Listen, you have a good day. I have nothing more to say today. Have a good day, yeah, Mr. Johnson?
So I thank you. I hear the anger. I hear the anger in your voice, and I know where it comes from, because I can understand some of it, sir.
Okay.
Thank you as well. The WhatsApp says, "I'm a cancer survivor of 26 years. The last thing that we want is negative people. A diagnosis of breast cancer is not a death sentence, as Santia said. If caught early, it can be treated and cured. We don't want to hear many people died, because there are a lot more who are alive." I want to agree with your sentiments, WhatsApp caller. I have an aunt who lived to the ripe old age of 94, who was diagnosed with breast cancer before I was born, lost both of her breasts, and I think she also lost every child she ever conceived. That may have had nothing to do with her cancer, but she certainly lived to the ripe old age of 94, and she took care of a lot of her nieces and nephews and baked some wonderful bread, I could tell you that. But live to 94. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hi, morning, Dennis.
Hi, morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, I think.
Dennis, I want you to explain to me, because I want you to tell me. Tell me, Dennis, why is it so hard in Barbados to get the minibuses with all of that dirty music and noise in people's head every day? Why it can't be stopped?
Because
because
it is part of a wider, it's an advertising route for more than just transportation. It's used for the dissemination of information about fats, a way of life. Hair, tattoos. It's a moving billboard for a type of life, and it can't be shut off by itself, because it's symptomatic of something that's wider than just a bus moving people around.
So in the meanwhile, all of our school children, because it is here actually all the time, because I'm a person that catches many, but this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then you have bus conductors who have all their pants dropping down. This is what the tourist is going to see. Mm-hmm. Is this the beautiful Barbados that people are telling me about, that people can come from away and see this?
Yeah, sir, believe it or not, there are people who come to see it. it is one side, which is why I tell you, it's one side of the equation. Look,
so it can't be stopped.
No, I didn't say so. I didn't say so at all. Don't get me wrong. Like no. Mm-hmm. Look, I believe, it is just my belief, that the only way you remove something is to start a counter movement. So, if we had buses, whether they're privately owned buses, whether they're transport-borne buses, that portray a different look, a Caribbean feel, painted differently, with a different type of arrangement for whatever, you would start a counterculture that would eventually push them off. Grenada had a problem with their minibuses. Trinidad had a problem with it, and they came around to fix it. We could do it. The problem is, how do you start the counter movement? Something we could talk about right after the regional roundup, because transportation is important to the livelihood of Barbadians. Stay with us as we continue the Tuesday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, 434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, which is 266-4862. Now, the gentleman was talking to me before the break about the minibuses and the music. You still with me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Now, during the break, a lot of people sent WhatsApp messages based on what I was saying to you. I just wanted to clear it up and see what I was saying, and then we could continue the discussion.
I'm glad, because I didn't pick up clearly what you was trying to say.
Yeah, Right, no problem at all, sir. What I was saying is that what we call the minibus culture is a driving advertisement for a lifestyle. There are people who listen to that type of music, engage in a certain type of behavior, and the minibuses become almost a traveling advertisement for it. There are people who come to Barbados who say, we want to go on the reggae bus, because they hear about it and they think that that's something they should experience, to say, I've been to Barbados, I've been on the reggae bus. You'll notice that the buses, some of the buses that do the old Rockland style buses, that do the bus tours, play music, not the vulgar variety, but they play music in a certain way because people want to experience that type of travel. Let me put it that way.
Only on the minibus? Why not the blue bus?
Well, sir,
the blue buses don't have it. So
we're good. And here's my point. Mm-hmm. Someone said to take away the badges, shut down the buses, you can fix in a hurry. And I agree that that's one way to do it. I told them it may take longer than we think, but they say their way is faster than my counterculture way. So I will take that. But let me say this. If we have a designation of what is public transport, so we say public transport should have ABCD and should not have ABCD, then let us have that, and it's across the board. So if public transport should not have amplified music, then public transport should not have amplified music. Private transport can have amplified music, but it should only be played at a certain level. Fine, we have that rule. Then do we make sure that the rules apply across the board? Because what we have is a case that people do what they want to do, and people say, oh, you know, own the bus, that's why we can't do it. And to me, that's wrong. If you're going to give somebody a license that says run the bus from 6 o'clock in the morning to midnight, then let it go across the board. We can't say that there's some places that can't get a bus after 5 o'clock or can't get a bus after 10 o'clock because people are afraid. What we've done is we set up a system that does not work for everybody, and it is being exploited by some. Now, the reason why I talked about counterculture, sir, is because I did not believe, and I still do not believe, that by painting the buses yellow and putting a blue stripe on it, we have fixed the problem. I do not believe that saying the guys must wear a burgundy coat with a white pants or blue jeans has solved the problem, because it hasn't. Right.
Okay.
That's why I said what I said. Now, I mentioned Trinidad and Grenada because in those two places, there was indiscipline in the sector. They got them to use a regular place as we use the bus stand here, and they fell into line. Is there indiscipline? In some cases, but it's not widespread anymore because they clamped down on it. They also got the permission in Trinidad to set their own fares, which took care of some of the problems.
Yeah. Well, I, Dennis, though you understand your explanation,
mm-hmm.
I really don't go for that.
What do you suggest?
You have a government, you have laws, mm-hmm. that should be followed,
right.
And they're simply not doing that.
Agreed. I agree with you on that, which is why I say if the law is there, enforce it.
And Dennis, I don't think that we have the men and women of stature that can get that to.
Okay.
And there's a saying that I always say, it's all over. Who out there in Barbados is waiting for things to get better? You've got a long wait. It simply cannot. I am sorry to say that, Dennis. Mm-hmm. I know you come along and hear my grandmother say, oh, man, there's nothing such as you can. That's not true. That is not true. And I have proven that. Mm-hmm. I have proven that. Because a man tell me, I wait on a course of time, and his dentist wanted the tutors to tell me, man, anything you put your mind to, you can do.
I
said, that is not true. That is not true. He said, well, what is something that you can put your mind to that you can't do? I tell him, I can't fly. So you have to come.
I'm sure he stopped.
I'm bringing your point.
Well,
I said,
he might tell
you. Fool, I'm right. You can't fly. Okay, Dennis.
Tell me the other one.
It is unbelievable that people can walk up to people and kill them. This is unheard of. Anyway, I'll work on that. Now, next thing. Could you explain to me, Mr. Dennis, why we in Barbados are giving school children, and I call it sugar, and Saul, and there's no one, not in Barbados, on the planet that can tell me I am telling lies, because I have went around, I've checked, I have my notes, I look and I see they are giving little children sugar and salt 3 times a day, Dennis.
Because they don't know it's there.
In the morning when they go in the 12 o'clock when they come out for lunch, and in the evening when they're leaving. And what make it worse, Dennis, as you know, and as I know, sugar and salt make you not only unhealthy, but it gets you thirsty. And there's a box with Busters waiting there for them to drink when they get thirsty. This is the country that you're telling me. I'm here, oh, we got all these diabetes, all these, the children are obese, and we are still doing it every day. Dennis, you can explain to me why we would do that?
For
you
two reasons.
That there's nobody in Barbados that can stop that from going on?
I can't answer that last question. But it goes on for two reasons. One, either because of ignorance, in other words, they're not
because
aware of what's in it. And two, because
they're giving them, well, the parents are there buying it for them also.
Because they don't know what's in it. So they don't know what's in it, one, and two, it's affordable.
It's atrocious. Dennis, this is unbelievable. I submit somebody could just tell, not a fruit is in none of those trees. And I'm throwing out the challenge to you, Dennis. Go around Barbados and look and tell me if you see any fruits in any of the trays that they're giving those little children sugar and salt 3 times a day. And what make it worse, Donna, Dennis, there's a box of buses there waiting for you, and you got big parents who should know better are buying it for them when they're not buying it for themselves.
Sir,
you could explain that to me, Dennis.
I just told you. I just tried to explain it to you. I just tried. And it is a case of affordability for some people and ignorance in another. I have seen children with a bag of Conquerors and a soft drink, and that's breakfast, because the parents would tell you the child like it, and that's what they could afford, and it holds them until popcorn and a soft drink. And yeah, big people do it. And the other part of what you talk about when you talk is it's not only the intake of sugar and salt, you know, it's the lack of physical activity as well mirrored with it. That's part and parcel of what we face. I am sure, if depending on your age, you'll recall walking to school and walking back. Today we pick our children up and they go to school by bus and they come back by bus or private car. So there's less moving around. They sit at home and play electronic games rather than running about, because running about, you're mashing up your parents' furniture, you're dirtying the walls in the house, and you're making too much noise. Cricket in the gap, that's unheard of. Can't do that anymore because, you know, break somebody's window and cars passing all the time and, you know, getting licked down and so on and so on and so on. We used to ride bicycles. Now we got to get a helmet. And then the pads and lights and bells and, you know, if you can't afford all that, no bicycle. Sir, it's the changing times. Education, education, education. And hopefully we'll fix it, like with everything else. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
I was unable to finish my contribution Sunday. I would like to know if I can do so today.
Sir, depends.
And
sir,
the first thing I want to talk about today is that I was following the guy that was on the cruise ship in Europe, and he was saying that in Europe, you can just walk off the road and walk into the different cruise terminals, the piers, and buy things to the free. That might be so in Europe, because Europe got a lot of open borders. I want to tell him, however, and all who has ears to hear, that in Barbados it can't happen, simply because we have in Barbados something called an ISPS code. And that code came about after 9/11, where you got to comply with this ISPS code. In fact, I can tell this here. The people from the ISPS, they send people around the Caribbean to do things to see if they could breach the code and get into your port, and they make reports on you that would not be favorable. And that's why they got this high security at the port. And it is not possible for that to happen at the port. So who believe it happens, take it out of the head. Can't happen. The other thing I want to mention to you too, very briefly, is this. I hear people saying that they're making the ships bigger and bigger. And that is not necessarily true. Let me tell you what's happening, Mr. Johnson. Let me tell you what's happening. The ships are, the cruise ships, I think the biggest is about 1,300 feet. And we in Barbados, we accommodate ships up to 1,200 feet. And, or in fact, between 11 and 1,200 feet. That's what we do in Barbados. And I know that for a fact. So what happens is that the reconfiguration inside the ships to accommodate more passengers. And let me tell you how they're doing it. Ships got something called Ozipod. You ever hear about Ozipod?
No, sir.
Hello?
Sir, I'm listening to you.
Yeah.
No.
No, I asked if you ever hear about Ozipod.
I just told you no.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you what's Ozipod. Ozipod is the new system that they're using on ships, mostly cruise ships, where it's like a fan. And you got the fan under the water, and the propellers belong to the fan, the motor that drives the fan. But instead of the propellers being at the end of the fan, the propellers are in between the ship's hull and the fan, so that the ship propeller would pull the water, and then pass it over the fan engine, and that is what steers the ship. That's the rudder, right? And in tight spots, they can use the whole thing. That whole engine system can turn 360 degrees.
You're saying that to say what, sir?
But I get around to that. So what's happening, since they got that system, all the space down the bottom of the ship, down the belly of the ship, where they would normally have the engines to drive the ship,
mm-hmm.
that is no empty space. So what they've done with that is area, they turn that into storeroom down in the bottom of the ship. And two and three decks above, where they would normally have the storerooms, they're now having passenger space and more space for crew and all that there. So that the ships are not necessarily bigger, but the ships are redesigning inside the ships to accommodate more people.
Sir.
Are you listening?
The symphony of the seas, the harmony of the seas, the allure of the seas, the oasis of the seas, all those have recently, quantum, that have recently been commissioned, are taller than the central bank building in Barbados.
Yeah.
That means that the ship is bigger. Because
the ship might be taller.
Sir, that's what people mean by bigger.
And the other thing too, Dennis, is this, if I can call you that.
You could call me whatever you want to call me, sir.
The other thing is this, and those ships only drive about 30 feet.
So that's not what people are talking about when they say the ship bigger. They're talking about the height of the ship that they see above water. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about tonnage. They're not talking about how it has turned wrong. They're not talking about any of that, because that's technical to them. What they're talking about is that when they look at the cruise ship today and they compare it with what used to come before, the ship bigger. It's taller than the central bank. They're dwarfed by it. So to them, it bigger. That's it. Full stop. And they carry more people. That's all they mean.
But anyway, it might be bigger in the sense that they are taller. And I can agree that.
And the gross tonnage
more.
They
have more decks.
Yeah.
They have more decks. And mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
Right.
But they have also more space down the bottom.
So I got that part of it.
Yeah. But listen, wait a minute. But I just want to also to say to you that in addition to being taller, they really is not very longer, and they are more sophisticated. They're more sophisticated anyway. I just want to put that on the table. And with the ISPS code, it is not possible for you to walk in the port and go in the cruise terminal and buy anything. That's okay. Not possible, because the ISPS, the ISPS is International Shipport. Shipport security code. That's mm-hmm. what SPS means.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sir. Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Me again.
Yes, me again.
I find that black people are terribly a funny race of people. Now, the guy was calling in about pretty larceny. But the fact of the matter is, as persons before me would have said, crime is not any feature of any one given race. But be that as it may, what I want to say today is that this country is cramped with money. So these people that are crying out, and you know, they're saying they don't have anything, I want to tell them that Jesus said, I was hungry and you never fed me, naked and you never clothed me, homeless and you never housed me. The problem in this country is that people like to see people down. And the only way they will appreciate you is if you are at a place where you depend on a handout. So there are some people who will not give you anything except they will get something in return.
Human
and
nature.
And then on Sunday, they will assemble in their assemblies, in their houses of assemblies, and tell you that salvation is free. Now, I was engaging with Corey, can't remember his last name.
The one on Brass Stacks? The one on Brass Stacks?
Yes.
Lane.
Corey Lane. And he asked me a question. And to be honest, it was such an embarrassing and hurtful experience that I didn't want to go in. But I would like to share the experience now if you permit me. I was sent to the psychiatric hospital. I can't remember what situation it was, but my family, they are determined to see me down.
Ma'am, you shared that with us already.
No, I didn't get... Corey asked me a question. I didn't answer the full experience. So give me... if you don't
ma'am,
want me to
ma'am,
say it one
ma'am,
day.
Hold on. Let me tell you, right? One of the challenges we have on Brass Stacks is that when people give their personal experiences on Brass Stacks, callers react in one way or another. Sometimes they put you under more intense scrutiny. Sometimes they ask why you allow you to do it. Ma'am, I understand that part of it. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the pressure it puts those of us here under. But go ahead. Okay. Tell me what it is you want to share.
Yes, sir. I was sent to the psychiatric hospital. Sir, I am a young female. I was having my menses. And part of my condition is that when that time is around, I just lose it. I have no idea what's going on. That is just part of the issue. And the nurses said to me, women in this country, God bless you.
That's exactly what I was hoping was not going to happen. Brass Stacks, good afternoon. Hello. It's time for us to go to the lunchtime edition of The Latest. If you stay with us, program ends at 1:30.